إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوة وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله this is going to be a completion of the chapter of الزبا والعطية والوصية the remaining part from this chapter and the book Manhaj al-Salikin by Al-Imam Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala is what has to do with al-wasiyah and this we have talked about it a bit inshallah we are just going to read what is left and today inshallah is going to be questions and answers session inshallah the Sheikh says وعن ابن عمر from Abdullah ibn Umar مرفوعا which is a feasible to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said ما حق مريم مسلم له شيء يريد أن يسيا فيه يبيت ليلتين إلا وصيته مكتوبة عنده متفق عليه in a hadith that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala and Al-Imam Muslim recorded from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it's not something that is good for a Muslim that is something in which we would like to make a kind of will and a kind of will and testament yadid to laylatain for him to sleep two nights illa wasiyatuhu maktubatun inda except what is good for him is to have his wasiyah his will written indahu with him this hadith some scholars take it to be compulsory that you have to write wasiyah. However, it is something of recommendation that you write a will, particularly when the will is not something that is compulsory. A will or testament may be something that is compulsory. Like if you are indebted to somebody, you have to write it down that I'm going to and so, so that this will be taken from your bequest after your death. But for you to leave it without mentioning this and your heirs, they believe they have what they inherit from you regarding the death of their father or the death of their mother, this is something that is not okay. It is injustice. So in this situation, it will be compulsory to have it written down. But in a situation that you have the intention of giving somebody a thing, but you want it executed after your death, you have said the wasiyah should not be more than one third of the property. You want to give somebody something, a present. That present must not be more than one third of the whole property. If it is more than that, this will not be executed. It will not be executed. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, was so true. Give one third. Rasulullah took a three. One third is much. As we have read it in the hadith concerning the case of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, that one third would do sadaqah which half of his wealth. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam discouraged him seriously from doing that. And he said he would do sadaqah which a third of it. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rasulullah, you can do it a third. It's a third of the property. Rasulullah is, though a third is too much, but this is a kind of tax approval from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You also mentioned that al-warith, the one who is going to inherit, does not get wasiyah. So the Sheikh says of in a hadith, إن الله قد أعطى كل بالحق حقا. Allah has given every person that has right to inherit the deceased what he deserves, what is due to him. فَلَا وَصِيَّةَ لِوَارِثٍ. So the one who is to inherit the heir does not get wasiyah. So don't write a will for somebody who is going to inherit us. رَوَاهُ أَهْلُ السُّنَنْ. أَهْلُ السُّنَنْ recorded this for the 11th in a report. In a wording, we have it in مَنْ يَشَاءَ الْوَرَثَ. Let his other heir, they mean that there is support. If the father writes that a child of his should be given so and so after his death, to say, now I see if I worry to live on this one. So that's why it's not in line with a partner to say, okay, so and so amount is being kept for the education of so and so children that I had to attain that level. So if the father is still alive and he has what the financial wherewithal to take care of their education, alhamdulillah. If he doesn't have, who would say he should do what? A kind of wasiyah now. Because that wasiyah tell you what is it. And maybe their education is something that he was composed, for instance, according to the ability of the man at that world view. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmahullah ta'ala talked extensively on things like this. It's a practice that people do a lot. For what should be known is that after the death of the deceased, so al-warith, the one who is to inherit, does not get any wasiyah. Unless if the wasiyah is more or less a debt. Like if the son or a child loans his father or a father some amount of money, so and the father writes it down that after his death the money should be given to the child, this must be fulfilled. This is not the wasiyah that is being talked about. The wasiyah that is being talked about is a kind of gift, a kind of present. So that's why we try to differentiate between al-wasiyah and being a bit. In bad wasiyah, you saw the al-day. For at times, they can also be wasiyah. You are indebted. You write it down that I'm indebted to so and so person. In a situation like this, it will be compulsory on you to write it down. Unless you want to carry the rights of other people to be great. And this is going to be against you. So you have to let them know, I'm indebted to so and so
possible.
So that the fourth thing they will take care of is what? Is the debt. It's the debt. It precedes the sharing of the inheritance. What precedes the debt is the clothing, the clothing of the shrouding of the deceased. This precedes. So they take, if there is no garment to shroud the deceased, they take from the sweat to do that. So this may precede what? The debt. But before the distribution or the sharing of the wealth by the family members or by the inheritors, they have to take care of the debt that the deceased is owing. How this is played. So as I said, that this is going to be the concluding part of the topic al-riba, al-atiyah, al-wasiyah. So inshallah, we are going to have questions and answer questions inshallah. Let me start with the third question. Is it allowed to join somebody who is praying Salatul Asri or somebody praying Salatul Zuhr and you have a different intention to that person? Maybe you want to pray Salatul Zuhr, you have not observed Salatul Zuhr for a genuine reason, for instance, maybe you sleep off and by the time you wake up it is time for Salatul Asri. Can you join the person observing Salatul Asr with the intention of Zuhr? This, according to the Jumhur of the Salah, it is not permitted. However, according to the Shafi'i school of thought, this is permissible. And this is the Wadi' opinion. It is also the favored opinion of Abu al-Abbas, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, likewise Shaykh al-Albani, Shaykh ibn Baz, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, that you can join somebody observing Salatul Asri with the intention of Salatul Zuhr. You can join somebody observing Salatul Isha with the intention of Salatul Maghrib. But this must be with genuine excuse, not that somebody just decides to delay it deliberately. So such a person will simply, even if he joins them, he simply for doing that. But one who has a genuine reason for missing the time of Salatul Zuhr, for instance, or Salatul Maghrib, can join the one who was observing Salatul Al-Asri or observing Salatul Al-Isha with his own intention. And the evidence for this is that Mu'adh bin Jabal, as recorded in many books of Ahadith, likewise Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala in his book Al-Umm established that Mu'adh bin Jabal would observe Salatul Isha together with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will still go to his people, he will go to his own people to meet them in Salatul Isha. He is with Nafila and here will be compulsion. This addition of is with Nafila, he has with compulsion الحيل was reported by Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. So in this hadith, there's difference in the intention. Mu'ad was observing nafila while they were observing what? Compulsion. So if a nafila can bear a compulsory salah, so definitely a compulsory salah can also bear another compulsory salah. So this is one of the arguments of Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala and others who take the position. The scholars who say you cannot do that, they argue that your intention must not be different from that of the Imam. So if your intention is different from that of the Imam, it's like you are what? You are differing with the Imam. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, وَلَا تَخْتَلِفُ عَلِيْهِ. So do not differ from him. Do not differ from him. So they generalize it. Why? Al-Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala and others, they do not generalize it. So لَا تَخْتَلِفُ عَلِيْهِ, that is, do not do something different from what the Imam is doing at a particular time. So that this is the meaning of the hadith. Because it says, كَبَّرَ فَكَبِّرُ. If you say Allahu Akbar, you also say Allahu Akbar. وَإِذَا رَكَعَ فَارْكَعُوا. And if he goes to ruku, go to ruku. وَإِذَا رَفَعَ فَارْفَعُوا. When you raise his head from ruku, you raise your edge from ruku. وَإِذَا سَجَرَ فَزُّرُوا. So the end of the hadith. So Allahu A'lam, the more correct opinion there is that it's permissible. It is permissible. Now the second question, was it?
Is there any evidence concerning that when rain falls?
Is there any evidence that when rain falls, it is a period for dua or for watching? If to Java. No, nothing of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will supplicate, but to say the period for istijaba, I cannot recollect the hadith that specifically mentioned this, but it is a tabi'i that is rahmah and nothing of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the rain is falling or about to fall, to supplicate. So, Allahu a'lam.
Are you allowed to pray? Okay. Is he allowed to fast? Is there any evidence to fast off the pain of Shaban?
Is there any evidence
to fast off the pain of Shaban?
To fast off the pain of Shaban. Then by the hadith which was reported by Imam Abu Dawood, the hadith of Ala bin Abd al-Rahman from Abu Radiallahu anhu, that said, when Tafaf Shaban, فلا تصوموا حتى يأتي رمضان أو حتى يكون رمضان. If it is 15 of Shaban, do not fast. If it is half of Shaban, do not fast. Until Ramadan. This hadith was reported from Abu Huraira. However, scholars of hadith have variously quoted it. Al-Imam Ahmad, Abdul Rahman bin Mahdi, and many others, they said the hadith is not authentic. The hadith is charred. Why charred? Because it goes against the popular hadith of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, that said, لا تقدموا رمضان بصوم يوم أو يومين. Do not precede fasting of Ramadan by fasting a day or 2 days before it. That is before the Ramadan properly starts. Do not precede Ramadan. That is with the intention that you do not want to miss any day of Ramadan. So let me start before it is all announced that the moon has been sighted. So that if there is any mistake in the sighting, I would have fasted the day before. So لا تقدم رمضان بثوب يوم أو يومين. a day or two days to Ramadan, don't receive the fasting of Ramadan. Illa rajulun kana yasumu sawman, except a man that is fasting, that is used, that has been fasting all along. And we know that this hadith of Abu Radallah is supported by the practice of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Usama bin Zayd, as reported by Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah ta'ala, said to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, lam araka tasumu shahran min al-shuhur ma tasumu min sha'ban. I've not seen you fast a month from the month what you fast in Sha'ban. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Zaka shahrun yaghfulu an-nasu anhu bayna Rajab wa Ramadan." He said that is a month that a lot of people are indifferent about. Baina Rajab wa Sha'ban wa Ramadan. Is in between Rajab and Ramadan. He said, Turfa'u fihi a'mal al-ibad ila Rabbil alameen. The deeds of the servant are raised to the Lord of the world in this month. And I love that my deed be raised while fasting. So, let me of Allah, the fast month of Sha'ban. Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ma ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam istakmala siyama shahrin qattun illa Ramadan. And I've not seen him, or I did not see him complete the fasting of a month except Ramadan. She said that. Then she said, "Wa kana akthara ma yasumu fi Sha'ban," and you fast most of Sha'ban. Kana yasumu kullahu, or kana yasumu aktharahu, or kullahu. You fast most of it, all of it. So the hadith is that of Sha'ban, fa la tasumu hatta يكون ويأتي رمضان بحديث الله وسكالر الفوتيج. سكالر لا بشيء قال البعض رحمه الله تعالى هو authenticated the hadith. Said the meaning is that when it is half of Sha'ban, if you have not been fasting before, don't say you want to start fasting then. Don't say you want to start fasting. Then, but if you have been fasting before, you can watch, continue your fasting. So the Sheikh did this in order to reconcile between this hadith. But what some of the muhakkikun of the past have said, that the hadith is sharp. Allah wa'ala.
Does the move to equip the water of the property or the
actual landed property? Now, both the wealth, that is the cash that the person has, and the landed property, everything is a bequest. So they are all bequeathed. So this is what all the heirs are going to share among themselves. So both the available cash and the landed property, the movable and the ones that are not movable, so they are going to share them in accordance with the provision of the Sharia. Now,
is it permissible to pass the 29 or Sha'ban? If even if one didn't pass from 1 to 15 of Sha'ban, is it Monday and Thursday?
Yes, this is one of the fasting that we've been fasting before. So Monday, Thursday, this is permissible. Particularly when we go by the the position of the majority of the scholars who have the opinion that that hadith of the Ghanfas of Al-Shaban is not authentic.
What is the best way to make ghusl?
The best way to make ghusl? The most important thing is that you make sure water gets to all parts of the body, starting from the edge down to the feet. This is what is important. If you do ablution before taking the ghusl, and when you get to washing of your feet, you delay it, you have poured water all over your body. This is good. And if you wash your leg, your feet, after you have gotten to the place, this is also good. They are both buttressed by hadith of Aisha and Maimuna, radiallahu anhuma. So the most important thing is that to make water get to every part of the body. And at times, one can take the ghusl without wudu. Since the ghusl is ghusl of janaba or ghusl of hajj, one can still go ahead and observe salah with it, because you are lifting the major impurity, and they took care of the minor impurity, according to what most scholars are upon. When it is a ghusl of jumu'ah, you cannot take, you can't observe salah with this, except to perform ablution in it. Because ghusl of jumu'ah, you are not lifting the abstract impurity. You are not lifting abstract impurity. So you can't take the ghusl of jumu'ah to be something that you like covered to do. But ghusl of hajj, ghusl of nifas, ghusl of janaba, all this can take the place of wudu. But it's better that you do wudu in the ghusl to make it a complete and perfect ghusl. Allah.
How many times I want to wash our feet during ablution?
Now you can wash your feet three times. You can wash it once. The most important thing is that you allow water to get to every part of the feet. You know, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on a journey with his companions, and he saw that they were not performing ablution very well by not, some of them weren't washing their legs, their feet wet, and he said, "What? Why lose the aqab in an woe to eels in hellfire? Woe to eels in hellfire." This tells us that we should do proper washing. When you say proper washing, that is, water must touch every part of the body, every part of what the ablution area, the area that you are supposed to wash in our ablution. Now, as for rubbing it, this, according to the Malikiya, is composed like the Hanafiya. What is more correct is that the most important thing is that water gets there. If somebody places his hand, for instance, his hand, he places it in a running tap, and water gets to every part of the necessary place, he has done what? Rasul Yeti. So as for rubbing it, this is not compulsory according to what the rule of the scholars are upon. As for rubbing it, it is not compulsory according to what the rule of the scholars are upon. And this is the correct view, including ghusl. So the most important thing is that water gets to every part of the necessary places.
Somebody is asking that, what advice can you give a sister that wishes to marry a brother, but she knows that it's likely to be negative?
Well, the question is not clear. Negative, as in the brother will not accept, or negative, and that if they do genocide test, that the brother is going to be AS and she's going to be AS too. Huh? Is that negative she means? If what she means is that the brother is not going to accept and she loves the brother, let her do istikhara. So if it is good for her to get married to that brother, Allah will make it easy. Huh? Allah will make it easy. So, and if she feels like doing that after she has done istikhara, there is no harm in sending people to meet the brother by following the normal procedure that is in line with the teachings of Islam without boyfriendship and girlfriendship. So there is nothing wrong. If a lady is interested in a man, so that she informs somebody that can get that done in the right way. But before that, she should do istikhara. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written that there will be marriage, Allah is going to make that easy for them. So but if what she means is that the brother is not likely to be in harmony with her own genotype or whatever, so it is better she avoids that. Somebody is AS, another person is AS. Some scholars discourage people like this getting married to each other because of the fitna that may come out of this, which they may not be able to bear if it really comes. But if they put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it's Allah that does whatever He wills, and they put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so there is nothing wrong in that. And this is the view of Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala. He said if any substance of your sin is something that at times can be fabricated and people rely on it, so that it was not something that was really known in the past that the people of the past do. So we should not rely on it. We should not rely on it. Particularly, it can be forged. Huh? It can be forged. The result can be wrong. I've mentioned it here several times. A lady that called me about more than 10 years ago, she was crying like a baby. The genotype test that she did, it was a mother that did it for her, I think before the mother's death. And the mother was working in a very reputable hospital, the name of which I would not like to mention. So the mother was very keen and concerned about things like this. So she did it very early in her life. When she wanted to get married, the parents of the boy or the brother also wanted to know her genotype because their own son was AS. So she was happy that the result given to her right from when the mother did it was AA. But the parents of the brother insisted that they would do it, that they don't trust the result. They have to take to a reliable center that. So when they did it, the result came out to be AS rather. So the parents of the brother insisted that no, our son would not get married to me. So the sister was crying like a baby, asking what advice I could give to her. So I said, well, what you need to do is for you to be prayerful and leave the brother. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide you somebody it is better. But for example, you feel that you want to marry the brother and the parents are not willing to let you do that, there's going to be issue between both of you, only the parents. So it is better for you not to take this matter too far. So and she turned to me, so I don't know what later became of her, Allah.
Now, is it permissible to pronounce talaq for one wife three times?
Is it permissible for one to pronounce talaq for one wife three times straight away? That is somebody saying, and to call it, or you are divorced, you are divorced, you are divorced. Or you are divorced three times. You are divorced three times. If somebody says you are divorced three times, according to majority of the scholars in the past, they will treat it as three divorces. Three divorces, so to say. No? So meaning the baby is no more lawful to the man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنْ طَلَّقَ فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدُ حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرَهُ. If a divorce is at the third time, she's not lawful for him anymore until she gets married to another person. And that person willingly divorces her after conjugation. So it shouldn't be something of planning. So it should be proper nikah, and the divorce should also be proper. Then the man can reapply and do khidbah again among other suitors. Other people can come and watch and also give the lady khidbah, particularly if they are not aware that the man is giving her another khutbah. But Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, during his time, he gave a fatwa contrary to this. And this was very tough on the Sheikh. To the extent that some of the people of the Madahib, like Asawi, who came later, made a cure of him because of things like this, because they believed he went against what was proven by the text. He was in prison because of this. He was in prison because of this fatwa of what? Of, if you say you are divorced three times, it only means once. It only means once. He and Subki, Taqiyuddin Subki, one Ash'ari scholar like this. So there was reputation between him and Ibn Taymiyyah. There was a reputation between him and Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala on this. Ibn Taymiyyah did take two volumes on this issue of Allah. Two volumes. And it led up to refuge the Qiyus of Ki on the matter. So, the Jumu'ud, they gave the argument on the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas that he said to that Umar radiallahu anhu said to him, that in the Nasa qad ista'jalu fi amrin kanat lahum fi al-ana. The people had urge in the matter that they have what? Ana. They have a freedom, not space. Law amdaynahu alayhim. Why can't we effect it on them? They are the ones. Instead of saying what? Anti-Talib, they are the first. Then the Umar will do Ilda. And then maybe the man takes her back. If the man feels later that he wants to divorce again, he will tell her after you are taking her back, anti-Talib, there will be second divorce. After he takes her back again, after why if you say anti talib, then you apply the verse فَإِنْ تَلَّقَهَا فَلَا تَسَلُ لَوْ مِنْ بَعْدُ حَتَّى تَنْكِيَ ذَيْنَ ذَيْنَ ذَيْنَ. So they believe this was contradicting the author of Umar of the line. People were ashamed. But Umar of the line said what Umar of the line did then was to take them away from that act. Once a man knows that he tells his wife or anti-Talik, Salat al-Marat or something like that, that is going to be affected, to think twice before saying what? Anti-Talik, Salat al-Marat. Then if a man says anti-Talik, 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 these 3 times, you are divorced, you are divorced, you are divorced. Are you going to count it 3 times? So it depends on the intention of the person. If he intends 3 times you are each, it will be counted like that. But if what he intends by that is what a tawqid, in order to emphasize that you are divorced, huh? So this will be counted as one. Wallahu a'lam. Wallahu a'lam. The Muslim world today, almost everywhere, they are upon what Ibn Taymiyyah rahmahullah ta'ala suffered for. What the Madahid, what the resisted, they were tutored in upon. So almost every place in the world today, they are coming back to the position of Ibn Taymiyyah rahmahullah ta'ala.
Explain what planting.com and betting.com.
Huh?
Planting.com and betting.com.
I don't know that.
Sorry? Planting.com. Planting coin and betting coin. Or in the look that it has a...
Okay, Bitcoin. Bitcoin. Okay, Bitcoin is one of the cryptocurrencies. So, and what the scholars are saying presently on it, some are refraining from passing any fatwa on it. They say the matter is not clear to them. Some are likening it to gambling because the price or the prices can just shoot up. Huh? And at times will just drop. So this is like gambling. It's not like the other currencies that are known, like dollar, euro, that they can still be really monitored. But this one can just shoot up $10,000, come down like that, no? So this is more or less gambling, and that's why some scholars they are bold to say it is gharar, that is something of gambling that should be avoided. So, and if the way, it depends on the way it is also done, it involves riba. So Bitcoin is not something that we encourage to double into, and I think the Nigerian government is placing some restriction on it. So we learned that some people are still doing it somehow. But it's not something that is okay. Particularly most governments are not in support of it. Are not in support of it. Allah. However, if it becomes stable, so the fact that it is digital or whatever doesn't mean anything. So the way we handle the paper money, so that can also be treated that way.
And that's the
best. All of them.
Too. Now, if the for the price of the country, how are we going to use the regulatory body? There are no regulatory bodies, but there are a few people. that they are no money that possible. That's why it's created by the process. These are people money for each country, but they are not working. And that's to encourage
people. If you need the support of the government, you need support of the government. So if the government does not support it, so you can't take it as a currency of a country. So I think that is why the Nigerian government is trying to support the people who use it to do a lot of unlawful transactions, so which ordinarily will not be able to use the known currencies like that for. So this stability ought to be fixed by the government. If it is regulated by the government, then it becomes an acceptable means of exchange.
Allah. Now, another thing, the value is not based on gold and silver.
Well, over the value of Naira is not based on gold and that used to be before that when you have just a dollar as what you're packing it of gold in reserve. One thing is that dollar is a paper. But it is backed by gold. I think that was in the 70s. So it's no longer backed by gold. I'm talking of dollar now, the American dollar. I don't think it's still like that. Wallahu a'lam.
Are we supposed to do any kind of family planning at all? Are we supposed to do any type of family planning at all?
No, it depends on what you mean by family planning. If what you mean by family planning is the child spacing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already educated us on in the Quran, then this is what is permissible and recommended. Huh? So by feeding breastfeeding your child for 2 good years, so the pregnancy lasts for 9 months, so this will be almost 3 years. So the child spacing is a good family planning. But what you mean by family planning is the removal of the womb and things like that, this is not something that is permissible unless there is a necessity for that. Like the woman that has problem with the womb and the womb ought to be removed for that reason, or the woman that the fear that she has done is are too many, so to say maybe she has done up to 5 and or more, and maybe the womb is becoming weak and things like that, so maybe they ought to do some things, maybe inject her with some injections so that she will not get pregnant forever. So this may be permissible if they are in a situation like that. But for somebody to say I don't want to bear more than 2-3 children, so after I've born 3 children, so I want to do family planning by tying the womb and the likes, so this is haram. Allahu a'lam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك